Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. Up in the captain's chair on the magical isle of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band, and streaming live all over the world to Captain Joe's people, wherever they may be, and whoever you are, on voiceofvashon.org. And if you are not able to hear me live, and I do know that many of Captain Joe's people schedule their days so that they can be with me live and be with me should I make any mistakes or stumble or get off course. If you are not able to be with me live, Captain O'Brien will be putting the broadcast up on the archive sometime later today. And you will be able to hear every piece of pontification. My greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people in places other than the United States of America. And I bring that up today because in this last week, I have had some of Captain Joe's people from Amsterdam and from Stockholm staying with me in captain's quarters, only for a very short period of time, not nearly long enough to satisfy me because I am the most selfish of men. But what time we were able to have included a visit to the Halloween festivities, and about that I will talk briefly a little bit farther on. So my greetings today go out to all of my people in all of those places which are not with an American zip code, but have a postal code in whatever country you happen to live. The biblical list today, again, has one remarkable crossing of the bar, and that is for the politician and former Vice President Dick Cheney. And other than that, but no crossings of the bar, no passages by Captain Joe's Academy classmates. None of my people, none of my personal people. There are reports coming in of either procedures yet to be done from Miss Margaret, or procedures completed, my daughter Laurie, or checkups and visitations by your captain. As always, all of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list, if I missed you by name, it is either because you have asked not to be mentioned by name, but to be included in the constant flow of energy, which happens whenever we announce the binnacle list, or because I just missed you. I miss you. I miss you all. So, in my own case, I had a follow-up yesterday to the surgery that was done, which included a bone graft. And the exclamation of delight and joy by the medical practitioner who did the examination told me that things are moving along in a smart and seaman-like fashion. Furthermore, I, not to put too fine a point on it, have not had to do the self-immolation with a personally installed catheter. All is moving along like the Yalu River, in China. So, for all of Captain Joe's people who are remaining on the binnacle list, know that you are in the palm of my hand, and you are the beneficiary of the good wishes that come from all of us to all of you. I'm going to start off today with the magazine, and the magazine is in fulfillment of my mission, which is to have everybody who spends a little bit of time with me every week to feel better about themselves and about the world in which we live. And this is from the best properties section of the week. And the houses this week are houses with literary connections. And the one that I have selected, which is within our price range, which is below £1 million sterling, and how I came to that limitation is an interesting story, and it's beyond the scope of our discussion for today. But the house is in Dorset, and it is called Bridge Cottage, and it has a thatched roof. It is a charming grade two. You all remember the significance of the grading, grading one, grade two star, and so on. In the heart of Thomas Hardy country, and reputed to have featured in several of his works, including Under the Greenwood Tree. Three bedrooms, and boy, this is an unusual for an old English house. Two baths, a kitchen, three what the Brits call a reception, what we call a living room. It has a garden. And it has parking. And it's priced at £600,000. I'm going to add another one. This one's in Cornwall, and I'm going to add it in Cornwall because I happen to be very partial to Cornwall as a part of the country. And this one is called April Cottage, and it's in the town of St. Ives. And St. Ives is where I took my very large Mercedes down into the town and could not get it. I got it into a cul-de-sac and couldn't get it out without a great deal of help from women who were standing alongside as I backed and filled to get the car out of the spot into which I'd gotten it. But that's a St. Ives story, and it's a story for another time. It is called An Enchanting Arts and Crafts House Built in the 20s. And set within the grounds of Talon House, the summer residence of the Stephen family and their children, Virginia Wolf and Vanessa Bell. Four bedrooms, two baths, kitchen, four receptions or living rooms, swimming pool. I would go into that pool with considerable trepidation as to what might be in it. A garden and parking. This one is over our price range. It is at £1.4 million sterling, but it is just a lovely, lovely house. The book this week is a follow-on to last week's, which was the Airman's Information Manual, and this is the sailor's version of the Airman's Information Manual, and it is Volume 1 of the American Practical Navigator. Known to all American sailors as just Bowditch. Bowditch called it an epitome of navigation. And this is Volume 1. Volume 2 is what was known at the Coast Guard Academy as useless tables. Actually, it's called useful tables, but it was, of course, called useless tables. And it starts off with a biography of Nathaniel Bowditch, and it has a reproduction of the title page of the first edition of the American Practical Navigator, published in 1802. Bowditch has been published continually since 1802, and the preface to it gives us a little bit of a flavor of all of the good things that are in the book. It has something like almost 800 pages. The type is small. The chapters are many. The amount of information is incredible. I recommend that everyone who has any interest in anything maritime or nautical procure their own personal copy of the 2024 edition. It's published by the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, and it is just a wonderful, wonderful piece of work. I just love picking it up and hefting its weight and just going in, opening the book at leisure and at random and picking out sections and the things that I practiced as a navigator of some skill, and then realizing how much information I don't know. The American Practical Navigator, known as Bowditch, the book for this week. Today, of course, is Electron Day. And in a time before this broadcast, I was honored with a request to do a time with Captain O'Brien and with all of the other people that are part of the program that's called On the Voice of Vashon Brown Briefly. It's an hour-long program. We did not have nearly enough time to cover all of the things that we wanted to discuss. And I was surrounded by people, each one of whom contributes in some way personally to my personal well-being here on the magical Isle of Vashon. In the local ballot, two of the people that are part of Brown Briefly are on the ballot. One of them is Amy, and she is running for re-election to a position on the Vashon Fire and Rescue Board. And the other one is Captain O'Brien. And Captain O'Brien is running for a re-election to a position on the board for the airport district. Now, we can't glorify it and call it Vashon Island International Airport, and that's because we don't have any customs people here. But we do have Captain O'Brien, and Captain O'Brien keeps his own personal aircraft out there. I have been with him in that aircraft. We actually took a flight not too long ago. We wanted to fly over the reserve fleet in Bremerton because I had believed that I had seen a couple of the littoral combat ships in storage there. These are the same ships that we keep grinding out and putting in commission and then taking them out of commission in 2 years. Not particularly worthwhile ships. And sure enough, there were several of them lying dormant. So Captain O'Brien is running, and I looked at the ballot, and sure enough, there was a place to write in. I was strongly tempted to write somebody in that place for him. But as my respect and regard for him, his aviation skills is complete, I could not come up with anybody better, and therefore I had to tick the box. I suspect that he will be reelected. I say all of this because if you, Captain Joe's people, have not yet voted, now is the time. As our Maori friends say, now is the hour. Get that ballot out from behind the radiator, tick the boxes, mail it in. I got a signal from the Postal Service the other day, by the way, which said it's possible that your ballot won't count because of the government shutdown and the Postal Service is moving on a very slow bell. So if you haven't voted yet, fill in your ballot and then get in your motor car or on your scooter or push your walker and go to wherever you can get it in on time, because if there was ever a time when it was absolutely essential that each one of us make our vote count, This is it. And that will be exceeded only by the midterms, which come up in a year. I am told, let's talk about Halloween. In fact, we're going to talk about Halloween because it's my broadcast. So I had my family from Stockholm, and I said, let's go into town. Now, the way we do it here on the island is that most of the magical isle of Vashon is rural. There are very few street lights anywhere. There are no stop lights the way that we think of them in the city. There are four-way stops. There is a protocol called the waltz of the four-way stop as to how you get through them. But most of the island is really dark. And so many years ago, somebody came up with the idea that rather than having children walking along the rural roads and being taken out by motor cars, that there would be a big in-town celebration. And that's exactly what happened. Rain was coming down in sheets. Now, to me, as you all know, when the rain comes down, that is a freshwater washdown. In my remarks at Jay's memorial service and at Mary R.'s funeral, I pointed out that the rain that was coming down for us were gifts from the two of them. And so it didn't bother me at all, but there were thousands and thousands of young people, all in costume. And one of my guests, a 13-year-old boy, decided to go as a fan of the University of Oregon teams called the Ducks. Now, this is a decision fraught with some peril here in this part of the world because, of course, this is the University of Washington area. And one of their competitors, at least in the old Pac-12, were the Ducks. Tim got himself all accoutred in the green and gold of Duckland, and we drove up here. And we came to the Voice of Vashon. I assumed a costume. It did not have any real theme. It was a red wig and a boa. And unfortunately and unhappily, some photographs were taken of your captain in this red wig and boa and some other parts of the outfit. I've just been advised that if you are a Facebook person, and I am not, that you can see this photograph on the Voice of Vashon Facebook page. I'm getting this out publicly before somebody decides that I'm not being honest enough about this terrible photograph and is sending it over to the Beachcomber to be put on the front page of the next issue. Should that happen, I know where it happened. So Tim went around with all of these thousands of other children. He was not attacked or mauled. He collected a very large bag, freighted down with many different kinds of candy. And when the town is closed off from one end of Vashon Highway to the other, all the way to the other end of town, and all the businesses have their doors open and children go up and they collect candy and they collect congratulations on the outfits. Some of the costumes were absolutely just incredible in their ingenuity. And it was just a glorious day, and every single child who came out and who came out in costume went home with the need for a dental appointment and went home safe. And that's really important to me. So there are no trick-or-treats on the island. Everybody comes up into town. There's music. It's just a wonderful, wonderful time for the whole island community. And it is the kind of thing that Vashon does particularly well. It was just a great time. even with that awful photograph of your captain in the red wig. In Midori news, we had a windstorm, and the jib, which is on what's called a roller reefing arrangement, was started to come unfurled. And a good Samaritan down at the yacht club had secured it. And then the Commodore sent me a signal, and the Commodore is an old friend. And he said, if we can meet on Wednesday, I will help you properly secure it. And I agreed to that, and I went down there, and some good Samaritan. Well, I have to tell you, first of all, that here on the island, we don't lock many things up. We leave the keys, especially to the trucks. The key to my little brown truck is always in it in case somebody needs a truck. And they are able to borrow it. And I had left the padlock for Midori's cabin also unlocked. Anybody who needed shelter could get in. Anybody who needed anything that I had inside the cabin could use it. It was unlocked. So this same good Samaritan who had secured the jib temporarily had also locked the lock, all of the keys for Midori are inside the cabin. So now I've got to destroy that lock. It is a master from Ace Hardware. I doubt that it will give me too much trouble doing that. But in any case, I've not been able to sail Midori because everything is locked up inside and I haven't been able to get inside yet. The whole subject of medium-sized icebreakers has come up yet once again. The company Bollinger that has been building a whole class has built a number of smaller Coast Guard cutters for us, has signed a contract, but there's been no money appropriated. No money appropriated. And there are six that are supposed to be built of what the Coast Guard is calling the Arctic security cutters. In other words, they'd be about the same size as my Northwind, but not nearly as capable as my Northwind. And no money has yet been appropriated. It remains to be seen. The Commander-in-Chief can sign all of these agreements with the Finns. He can proclaim that all of these ships are going to be built, but if Congress does not appropriate the money, no steel will be cut, no keels will be laid, no hulls will be constructed and launched, and certainly no ice will be broken. I will, of course, be following up on all of that. And in the meantime, in the whole business of counter-narcotics, I picked up a piece in which the Department of, I guess it is the Department of the Navy, is establishing a new counter-narcotics joint task force. And interestingly enough, this is not being headed by a Navy commander, not by a Coast Guard commander, but by a Marine. The unit which is going to be the foundation for this particular joint task force is the 11th MEF, Marine Expeditionary Force. It remains to be seen. I do not doubt the skills or the loyalty or the dedication of the Marine one-star or two-star who will head this up. I'm sure that all of those qualities exist, as they do with almost every Marine officer that I've ever known, every Marine that I've ever known. I have a couple of them in my family. Semper Fi to all of them. They're coming up on their 250th birthday. But that this joint task force is being headed up by a Marine Expeditionary Force. I find that to be great interest, and I will continue to report on it. In the same set of military news that came another one. And this is coming from the highest level of the Pentagon. Another task force is being put together to inspect and to, if necessary, overhaul. I don't know what's going to come out of it. Barracks, the barracks in which our people live. I submit to whichever secretary it is that is in charge of this particular thing, that commanding officers are responsible for the health and welfare of their men and women. And all it would take would be a reminder, let's say an all-nav, or one of the dreaded all-coasts, to commanding officers that it's your responsibility, now get on with it, to take care of your people. And if it means that you need to restructure your budget in order to eliminate mold, rats, mice, safety hazards, the American service person is incredibly flexible. We proved that in my own experience in Vietnam, in my own experience in many, many situations at sea where my sailors were sleeping 3, 4, and in one case 5 high in berth decks in ships that were rolling violently and pitching violently. And in the case of my Reliance, she would roll, pitch, heave, yaw, and she would do all of those things all at one time. Not my favorite ship to handle. Not like my Ingham or my Northwind. But she was mine. She was mine to command. And she was mine to love. And I did love her. But it was like many other things that we love in life. We do it with just a little bit of concern for her idiosyncrasies. The point I make is that a commanding officer is totally responsible for the welfare and safety of his people. We don't need big task forces coming from the Pentagon. And that's what I have to say about all of that. I would be ashamed if my admiral had sent me some sort of a task force to inspect the barracks that I had for my people in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Oh, my goodness, there's a runner that just went by. I'll leave that one without any further comment. So we've come yet once again and all too quickly to the time when it is almost 1,300 hours. That is 2 bells of the afternoon watch. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. We'll meet here, right here, next week, a week from today. And I will then be talking about a trip that I'll be taking to New England to be a part of the annual general meeting of one of my professional societies. Know that all of you are, as always, in the palm of my hand. Captain O'Brien is sitting right across from me, getting ready to do the electronic magic that he does every week. He has cleaned out the residue of the trick-or-treat candy bowl and is about ready to come over here and do his job for which I am enormously grateful every week because I failed dramatically at being able to do it myself. Know that all of you remain, as always, close to my heart, with my love, respect, and regard, and this is, as always, your Captain Joe. I'm on station and watching properly.